Oh, come on. Good morning. You guys awake this morning? You guys come expecting God to move this morning? A couple of you have. Good. The rest of you were expecting good donuts and good coffee. Come on, somebody laugh. Man, this is rough already. I just need to stop telling jokes off the get-go. I need to get you guys primed, ready to go. Well, it's good to be with you guys this morning, and just welcome. So glad to see all of you here, especially if this is your first time. I know Pastor Stu had already welcomed you, but just welcome again. So good to have you in this place. And we are diving into yet another week of this series of What's God Like? And I get to share what God has been putting in my heart in regards to this idea of what God is like in our life, some attributes and characteristics that might help us understand what he's like and what it's all about in our lives and how we can reflect that every day. So I get to talk this morning. Before we dive into what that is for me this morning, I just want to make a couple declarations and get us on the same page. And first, I want to say this, that God is with you. His Spirit dwells within you. It's not something he took away. It's not something he puts on and takes off. It's not something where he says, okay, Dan, well, you know what? This was a great Monday. We'll do something kind of supernatural and spiritual and kingdom-oriented next Sunday. We'll see you then. He's in us. He's with us. What he's like is he's indwelling. He dwells within us. In John chapter 7, verse 37 and 39, it says, you don't have to turn there. I don't think this one was actually on those notes. It was just something to get us going. It says, on the last and greatest day of the festival, and he's speaking of the Festival of Tabernacles, it's a celebration of the end of the harvest. It's speaking to how good God has been and in taking them from the wilderness and from the desert. And Jesus stood up and said in this festival in a loud voice, he says, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this, he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. Speaking of him dying on the cross, risen from the dead, and the Holy Spirit being given to us, which we're going to get to in a little bit later. There's one part of the Scripture that I want to reread in the translation of the Message Bible, because I think it's powerful how it's put here. It says, rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me in this way, just as Scripture said. Spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me this way. So what's God like as we look at our lives in relationship with the Holy Spirit? God is like the one who is always there. God is like the one who is always imparting himself, always giving himself. He is indwelling, to be permanently present, to be an inner and activating and guiding force in us all. He is complete. Amen? In the Trinity, you have the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We're not going to dive into that a whole bunch. I know Pastor Stu did in the earlier weeks of this. I would challenge you, encourage you, if you missed any of these, to hop on the podcast, hop on YouTube, and watch those. You'd be glad that you did. But in this three in one, there is nothing lacking. You know that, right? God is not like this puzzle that is missing pieces, hoping that we have enough to just figure it out. God isn't this thing that we put on once in a while. He's this person that dwells within us. We see this in the Trinity when we talk about the Holy Spirit and what he's like. The Spirit of God that says, I'm with you. Everything you need, I give to you. All wisdom, direction, understanding, opportunity, and power, I want it to dwell within you. For it to come from you like rivers of living water to the brim, to spill from your depths. Is that exciting to anyone? I want to fill you from my abundance. And in that, I want you to see my wonders. Complete in the fact that the person of the Holy Spirit, not the thing, not the it, or some apparition, but the person of the Holy Spirit was given to us to be with us and in us always. What God is like can be found in the person of the Holy Spirit. He is dwelling within us, overflowing, and desires that we live from that source every day. I had to reside to the fact this morning that there's no way in one talk that I'm going to be able to do justice to describing what God is like in reference to the Holy Spirit. So I want to just focus on what God is like in relationship with the Holy Spirit, how he engages with us, speaks to us, guides us, leads us, calls us, dwells in us. This beautiful picture of God's plan and desire to be with us always and for us to live as though he really does. Like, really does. Like, really, 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 he does. And then I want to share a story at the end that could only be God. Only God could have put what happened together. And I hope that it takes all the words that I have already said and the words to come, and I hope that it brings some reality to them. Because, guys, there's a whole other way of living in the fact that if we would allow the Holy Spirit to flow freely from within us, not just in part, but in all that he is, we would see and experience and be a part of some really incredible things. So I hope that this speaks to what God is like from the vantage point of who the Holy Spirit is. Part of this triune God, this part that we speak to or about as a thing, but need to embrace him as this gift, this person that the Father has sent, that we too need to talk about in terms of relationship and having a relationship with. This reality that we are called to be Spirit-filled, as we have been given the Holy Spirit. Being Spirit-filled is the surrender of your life to God and allowing the Holy Spirit to have his way in and through your life. You might have heard me pray it. You've probably heard others pray it in this place. Holy Spirit, have your way. There's a lot more to that single statement than I think we really understand. Holy Spirit, have your way. Engaged in your life, in control of it even. But he doesn't take it. He invites us to give it up. That it is no longer about who you are and what you can do, but about who God is and what God can do in and through your life. We're going to be starting out in John chapter 14. Verses 15 through 17, and I know that Pastor Stu has already welcomed you to the YouVersion app, so I'm sure you're probably already there. If you're not, you can go there. But I just want us to pause for a moment and pray. Sound good? Would you do that with me? Holy Spirit, have your way. Lord, let that mean something new this morning. Let that be something different this morning. Let it resonate in our spirits differently this morning. The reality, Father, that you are here, you are in us, you indwell in your people. That you have made a way. You've given us the Spirit. Lord, we invite you to have your way in this place. Not just this place, the building, the four walls, but this place, our heart. So Father, we love you. We bless you. We commit every moment of this morning to you. In your precious name we pray. Amen. God is never far. We've probably said this a few times even in this series, but God is never far. It's the very nature of the Holy Spirit, of who God is, to dwell within us. In John chapter 14, verses 15 through 17, it says, Jesus promises the Holy Spirit. He says, if you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him, but you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. So for what purpose is this attribute of God? To indwell in his people, to fill his people with his Spirit. Why is it important to understand that God is like that of a river of life? What is the Holy Spirit doing in our lives today? And why is it important to continually be filled by allowing him to do his work in and through our lives? These are a lot of questions with a lot of other answers that I'm sure I'm not going to share this morning. But I believe that there are a few defining traits of the Holy Spirit that I think can help us in understanding these questions and answering these questions. Something that I know of the Holy Spirit personally from my life is a word we use common around here is he's a nudging spirit. He nudges us to our next steps, to walk in all that he has put in us to do every moment, moment to moment, not just once in a while, not just on Sundays, but moment to moment, he is nudging us, speaking to us, guiding us to get to a place that he's called us to get to. We see a piece of this is in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 through 11. It's a longer one, so bear with me. And again, I want to read it from the message just because of the way it articulates this particular scripture. It says, what I want to talk about now is the various ways God's Spirit gets worked out into our lives. This is complex and often misunderstood. But I want you to be informed and knowledgeable. Remember how you were when you didn't know God and led from one phony God to another, never knowing what you were doing, just doing it because everyone else was doing it. It's different in this life. I want to jump down to verse 4 through 11. It says, God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action, what's the word? Everywhere. But God himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits and tongues and interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are all handed out one by the one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. It's like the wind pushing sails on a ship, providing the power to move the vessel across the water. In the spiritual realm, it's the Holy Spirit providing the torque to move the believer down the pathway of obedience, trust, faith in all that God has given us to do. And in this scripture, it points out the fact that we all are called. Remember, it says each person is given something to do that shows who God is. He's in you. He's with you. He dwells within you. A Spirit-filled believer isn't motivated by his or her own desires or will. Instead, they allow the Holy Spirit to carry them in the proper directions, to nudge them. Most of us, I'm not sure if you did this when you were a kid. I know my kids did it. I know I remember doing it when I was a kid, to find a creek and get a stick and throw it in the creek and then run as fast as you can down the creek to wait for it to make its way by you. Anybody do that? Okay, you all need to get out of the city and go find a lake. Go find the woods. All right? But we would do this. I remember my kids today. If they were in here right now, they'd tell you. They're helping out in another class right now. But we would run down and then wait for it to get to us. Moved only by the force of the water, going wherever the water would lead it to go. It really had no control. Allowing the Holy Spirit to move you is key to nudging. You can be tapped on the shoulder all you want, but it's going to require us to decide to move. To be filled with the Holy Spirit means to allow yourself to be carried along by the gracious nudging of the Holy Spirit, to be moved, to be empowered, to be nudged to walk out what it is that God has for you to do in any given moment. What he isn't like is someone who is trying to get on your calendar. What he isn't like is someone trying to get on your calendar. Is this a good time, Dan, to let you know that person over there needs prayer? I'm sorry, Dan, I know you're in the middle of something, but is this a good time to let you know they need to know the love of God right now? Again, he dwells within you and I. He is ready now. So we've got nudging as an attribute, a characteristic of the Holy Spirit and what he's like in our life. The second one I want to talk about is this business of permeation. Another way to put it, kind of a funnier way to put it, is to be pickled. What? Good. Got some reaction. Somebody's waking up. All right. To be pickled, so to speak. This process of being so saturated in something that it changes everything about what is being saturated. It transforms the item into something altogether different. The appearance changes, the taste changes, the smell changes, to allow something to pass into or through every part of your being. That is being pickled. That is this permeation process of the Holy Spirit. How? How does this happen? What does this look like? I'm going to share just five things that I see happening in this permeation process that I see in my life, that I've seen throughout the years in others' lives. And I know there's probably a lot more than five. Very short list. But it's a way to get us started in this idea of, do we see the Holy Spirit and what he's like, what God is like in our life? Do we see these things happening? Are we praying for these things to happen? Now, the first thing in this permeation process is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit permeates who we are by marking us for God. The Holy Spirit has marked you, put his deposit of who he is in you. We've already read that in previous scriptures. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7 says, when God our Savior revealed his kindness and love, he saved us, not because of the righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He washed away our sins, giving us a new birth and a new life through the Holy Spirit. He generously poured out the Spirit upon us through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Because of his grace, he made us right in his sight and gave us confidence that we will inherit eternal life. Do you know that if you're a person in this place who has said, Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you've invited him into your world, and he's Lord of your life, he has marked you with his Spirit. That you cannot not change with that thing, with that happening. Does that make sense? There is no possible way for you not to change in that process. To be who God is like begins to happen. That transformation begins to happen as we allow him to mark us, to change us. The second part in this is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit permeates our intimacy with God. In Ephesians chapter 3, verses 14 through 19 says, when I think of all of this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and on earth. I pray that from his glorious unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit. Then Christ will make his home in your hearts as you trust in him. Your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high, and how deep is his love. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully. Then you will be made complete with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. It is in this infilling that gives us the ability to experience God's presence, understand his word, a life as though he is truly indwelling within us and in this place. This is from the Holy Spirit in our lives, always with us, and us engaging and going with those nudges and moving with those nudges of the Holy Spirit. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit permeates us by making us more like him. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18, it says, so all of us who have had that veil removed can see and reflect the glory of the Lord. And the Lord, who is the Spirit, makes us more and more like him as we are changed into his glorious image. Does this sound like a process where we are turning into something, we're changing, becoming more like him, again, pickled in his presence in such a way that we take on the family resemblance, right? This Christ-likeness. We see families with kids who look just like one of their parents or someone in their family line. Unfortunately, my son Daniel looks like me, so that's something he's as cross he's going to have to bear, especially right now while he's enjoying his hair, and I tell him that it's going to be short-lived. The indwelling of the Holy Spirit permeates our sight and what we see and how we see it. Do you know that the things we see and how we see it changes as the Holy Spirit permeates who we are? As we realize He's in us, always there, and we acknowledge that and walk in that, we begin to see things differently. John chapter 16, verses 12 through 15, it says, there is so much more I want to tell you, but you can't bear it now. When the Spirit of truth comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own, but will tell you what He has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever He received from me. All that belongs to the Father is mine. This is why I said the Spirit will tell you whatever He receives from me. Kind of that direct line and telling us what the Father is speaking to us and wants us to know. That when we look at a situation, we stop for a second and invite the Holy Spirit to speak to us what the Father is speaking about that situation, about that person. We begin to see this world through His eyes. We see the people that He loves, the opportunities at hand at any given time. The fifth thing about this permeation process is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit permeates our desires and brings us peace and joy. There is something about allowing that process of the Holy Spirit to recognize daily that He is with us, He is in us, that changes the importance and the priority of what we do in life. You understand that? The infilling of the Holy Spirit is like this idea of Easter egg coloring. You guys got kids, and we've actually stopped. That doesn't happen too often at our house anymore. Our kids are a little older, but how many of you guys still color eggs with your kids? Okay, good. When you drop a couple tablets in a glass of water, they instantly begin to fizzle and dissolve. Soon the tablets are transformed and they become one with the water in the glass. And the water is permeated with the distinct color and smell, and the function of that water is completely different now. It's set apart for a completely different use. You can't separate it from what it once was. It is something new now. In a similar sense, God wants the Holy Spirit to permeate our lives in such a way that we look, that we see, and that we function differently. So when we're around others, they will know for certain that we are altogether different and not filled with our own agendas, but that of God's. Jesus gave His life, and in His death, the veil was torn from top to bottom and opened a whole new world where now the Holy Spirit just doesn't dwell among us. He now dwells within us. Why? Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. So why again? I hope from this point, from the beginning to this point, there's been so many whys. To be with us, for sure. To continually work out this transformation process in us all, absolutely. To deepen this rich, intimate relationship between creation and creator, 100%. But more than just experiencing spiritual goosebumps and highs every now and again on the weekend, is to prepare us to go after another one. To be a witness and to speak of His love, His mercy, His grace, His power, and His redemption to all mankind. And to know it well, not because of what we've read, but because of who dwells within us. We can't help but for it to come out. It's to prepare us to go after the one. The one referencing the lost, people around us in our world. The third and final idea to help us with this question of what God is like as we look at the person of the Holy Spirit is that He is all-consuming. And in that, He can be unconventional. And He can break every convenience you have. Now, He's loving. He's merciful. He's gracious. but he wants all of you, which includes your trust, your obedience, no matter what you're going through, no matter where you're at, and no matter who you're with. And this becomes possible not because of our own power or strength or our know-how in Scripture. This is possible because of the Holy Spirit dwelling within us, empowering us, walking out the life of Christ within us, which makes him more aware of his kingdom at work than we will ever be. You know that, right? You want to know what is happening in the kingdom. You want to know what the Spirit of God is doing in this moment. You need to connect and engage with the reality that the Holy Spirit is dwelling within you now. That's the beauty of all this, of his consuming nature. The Holy Spirit knows what's going on. He's like the direct line. He knows what's possible in every situation, no matter how trivial, no matter how normal, or better yet, how natural your daily moment-to-moment situations might be. He sees the supernatural event that is possible in that moment. And no matter what situation, how trivial, how normal, or natural your day-to-day stuff might be, the Holy Spirit might be wanting to do something a little more. This is being what it is and referred to as to walk in the Spirit. Be filled with the Spirit. Well, I think it might be easier to walk in the Dan instead of in the Spirit and deal with people, trials, hardships, hurt, worry, finances, or just my day-to-day stuff. Dan's ways will always leave me lacking. Relying on my flesh and not his Spirit and missing what he has in store for me in that moment. But God says, I dwell in you. You have me. Walk in my Spirit and see my kingdom more clearly in your life. To walk in the Spirit of God in such a way that it isn't I who live, but it is he who lives in me. And in that, we get to go on the ride of our lives. No one's excited about that, right? I want to see God's wonders. I want to see simple situations turn into powerful moments of God interacting with his people and seeing miraculous things happen. This is the Holy Spirit, the rivers of living water. This is the fullness of Christ. This is the heart of the Father, to be one with him. Less of me, more of him. This is how it happens. To experience this relationship of being so permeated by the Spirit of God, to be in tune with his nudges, that for him to take over in any situation becomes commonplace. To let him take over in any situation becomes commonplace. You can have a problem here, right? Not for you to take over at my work when I'm around other people. To take over and tell me to pray for someone while I'm on the bus, train, or at my school. For you to take over when I know I need to take control right now, or I feel that I need to take control over this matter. To allow him to take over in any situation. This is the part that I wanted to get to because I love how God shows up. And I want to invite the worship team to come on up. We're not quite done yet. I just want to share a story, and it literally happened yesterday. And it's something that couldn't stop thinking about last night. And here I am all week preparing for this talk about the Holy Spirit being within us, taking control, nudging us, permeating the very essence of who we are, and allowing him to consume us. breaking every convenience that we have. And then God shows up on a Saturday at an open house in Tahoe. First of all, I didn't want to go do this open house. A client of mine, it was just after a big, they've had a ton of snow in Tahoe, and it was going to be really cold. And ice all over the road, and so that just makes it hard because not a lot of people want to go out looking at open houses, and you just kind of know that as a real estate agent. But you go. I fell on my butt twice while putting signs out in the neighborhood. I was not happy. I was there, and hours go by, and no one shows up. The last hour and a half or two, finally, we had a good turnout, good people coming. God was blessing us with people that were wanting to come in and look at this place. And then the last couple came into this open house. Cute, sweet couple. And they came in just a little bit before one. And they probably looked the house up 5-6 times. This is good. Real estate agents want to see that. And a little bit toward the end of them looking at the property and having some conversation in and around that, they come upstairs, and I noticed something was different about his wife. There was just something that I could just tell she either wasn't feeling well or she just didn't want to be there, maybe. Now, me, before they got there, 1 o'clock was close. I was going to shut this down as fast as I could because I wanted to get home. And here we are just after one now, and we're still looking at the house, and I'm looking at my watch. Just in a hurry. We get up to the kitchen, and in this house, there's scriptures on the wall. There's little sayings here and there. And the husband is looking at one in particular, and he's just kind of zoned out in it a little bit. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and mind. That's what's on the main wall. And he turns and looks at me, and his eye, I just sense that his eye is welling up inside. And he says, "Hey, were the sellers of this home, were they Christians?" I said, "Actually, yeah, they are." He says, "Does that make you a Christian?" How that dot got connected, but maybe Christians only hire Christian agents. I don't know, but of course I said, yeah, I am, of course, yeah. And he gets to tear a little bit, and he looks at his wife. And his wife's trying to rest along the countertop. She begins to get teary-eyed, and he says, "Do you believe in miracles?" And I said, so I'm like, wow, this is changing the way. Yeah, I do believe in miracles. And then he says, "Do you believe in praying for miracles?" And it was funny that there's a distinction there. Do you believe in praying for miracles? I said, "Yes, I do." And he began to well up even more. And I was like, "What's going on here?" So there's like little pauses in between. And you can sense the atmosphere in the room shifting. Like, I can't describe it. There was a literal physical change happening in the room that moment. He says, "My wife is dealing with Parkinson's disease. She has been for a long time. She's in a lot of pain right now. I believe we're here. I believe. Would you pray for my wife?" Still out, people can still walk in. And here we are, holding her hands, and now I'm crying. I'm bawling, she's bawling, he's bawling. What somebody might have thought when they came in through that house would have been amazing to find out. But you know, that thought never crossed my mind. Holy Spirit begins to take control of a situation. His kingdom becomes primary. Everything else becomes secondary. And it wasn't even a thought. So now we're praying and we're praying and we're praying. And the only way I consider it is I just went into full tilt. Just started declaring God's healing over her life. Love over her life. I say amen. I think it's going to be done. The husband then begins to pray for me. And he's just speaking the most thoughtful, thought-provoking prayers. He's just praying over me. Then he stops. The woman who we're praying for because of this disease begins to prophesy over my life. She begins to speak over my life. She begins to speak truth and love and all these other things over my life, things that really hit, were on the money. The Spirit of God was in that place. So we begin, and it's now like 2:00. We just can't stop talking to one another about what God is doing and declaring that this wasn't an accident. Was on purpose, orchestrated by the hand of God. Because he dwells within us, opening up opportunity after opportunity to get over ourselves and to see what it is that God might want to do. But that's not where my heart was, just to be honest. I told you, I was looking at my watch. And on my way home, first off, let me back up for a minute. There's this other thing that the Holy Spirit was doing that was completely in a different area. So there's no reception up there. And so I get finally down to pick up my last signs, and my phone starts to beep. And it's all these text messages that I had missed from being in the house. And one of them was from a friend of mine here that you, some of you know, Adam Adams. And it was right at, I wanted to look and see how late I was in returning his text, and it said 1:30. So right at the time we started praying over this couple. Hey, I just wanted you to know that I felt like I needed to pause and pray for you. Now, he was praying for the open house and that it goes well and all that, but the Holy Spirit dwells within him, spoke to him to stop and pause, nudged him. He moved with the nudge. He allowed himself to be in that moment, and he wanted me to know that he was praying for me. What happens when we look at what God is like? Know that he is dwelling in us always. That he's nudging us. He's permeating who we are to a place where we're ready to let him say, have it all. Holy Spirit, have your way. Does that phrase feel different now? Is there a different understanding of what it means to say, Holy Spirit, have your way? My reflections on my way driving home yesterday, again, in tears, saying, God, I know you are in me. There's so much of you in me. There should be so much of that I should see more of. And I want to say to you this morning, there is so much of God in you this morning that we all should be seeing more of that in our lives. What's he like? He's with us. In every way, who he is, every characteristic, every attribute speaks to the desire of his to be with us. And our response needs to be to jump in, to make way, to give over ownership. That is walking in the Spirit. For the phrase, Holy Spirit, have your way, to have a whole new meaning in our lives, guys. Have your way with my time. Have your way with my desires. Have your way with all that I am. Permeate every part of my being. Rivers of living water will brim and spill out of the depths of anyone who believes in me. Would you stand with me this morning? Can I invite the worship or the prayer team to come forward? pause. You guys just close your eyes, bow your heads, and for any other reason, just